right, back on the Young Turks. Hannah Cranston, Brett Ehrlich, everybody check out youtube.com/thinktank, youtube.com/poptrigger, okay? So we're gonna do a wonderful second hour for you guys. First, some tweets. Chelsea Charles writes in, he strokes his own ego so much it's disgusting. I've never even met anyone in real life that's half as bad as him. Why is Brett Ehrlich on the show?
No, that's a good question. Okay. I was like, that makes sense. Yeah, I've heard that one before. Usually for me, as I stare deeply into my eyes in the mirror right before, what am I doing here? It's nice to hear from someone.
Okay, so obviously it was saying that about Trump and not Brett. I added that last part. You know what that was? That was fake news. Fake news about Twitter.
Gonna go.
But it's a good point, and that's why I wanted to read it. Like, if you met someone like Donald Trump in real life, it would be, everyone would like recoil. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd like, if we went to a lunch together, the three of us, with a guy who kept saying, I'm the best, I have the best words, I'm like a smart person, you know, and everybody loves me, you'd be like, well, you are the weirdest, most disturbing person I've ever met.
Unless they were seven.
Right. Yes.
If they're seven, you still try to stop it, but at least you understand it.
I mean, you keep hearing that time and time again from people who were in his like social network in New York. People hated him. It wasn't they were like, oh, this is a great guy, I'd like to party with him. People were like, this guy kind of sucks. So then we'll put him in the presidency.
Yeah, no, I know some folks, some finance and legal folks that know Donald Trump. And they had universal disdain for him.
Yeah.
Because they don't respect his intelligence at all, let alone the rest of it. So anyway, more Jeff Guidotti, sorry Jeff, butchered that, says, I can totally see Trump awarding himself the Medal of Honor at some point. What a narcissistic, sociopathic douchebag. But you know what, that's so insane. But unless someone stopped him, I could see him being like, that looks shiny, I'd like that, right?
Yeah, there's a thing in The Office where Dwight makes himself his own assistant because he's the only person who's good enough to be the assistant to his assistant. It sounds like that. It's like a ridiculous sitcom premise.
Yeah.
And it has some chance of coming true. And finally, Captain Jinglepants writes in.
Best name.
Yes. When Trump leaves the presidency in shame, he's going to say he's had the most successful presidency in history. He is. Yeah. Even when he resigns in absolute horrific shame, he will go, no, I had the best presidency. I done so well, I wrapped it up early.
Yeah. Drop the mic, that's what that is.
Mission was already accomplished, didn't need to be there anymore. All right, Hannah, what do you got for us?
All right. This morning, Donald Trump released a statement proclaiming today Columbus Day. Now, in this proclamation, Trump describes Christopher Columbus's contributions to the Americas, which unfortunately included mass killings, rapings, and dismembering. But nonetheless, Trump wrote, the permanent arrival of Europeans to the Americas was a transformative event that undeniably and fundamentally changed the course of human history and set the stage for the development of our great nation. Therefore, on Columbus Day, we honor the skilled navigator and man of faith whose courageous feat brought together continents and has inspired countless others to pursue their dreams and convictions, even in the face of extreme doubt and tremendous adversity. I call upon the people of the United States to observe this day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. I also direct that the flag of the United States be displayed on all public buildings on the appointed day in honor of our diverse history and all who have contributed to shaping this nation. Okay. That was a lot to unpack, but unfortunately, historical evidence shows that Trump's facts might be alternative facts. And according to Bartolome de las Casas, who participated in these expeditions, but actually became one of the primary chroniclers of Columbus, and he wrote that this man of faith actually carried out some pretty faithless actions. So he wrote, endless testimonies prove the mild and pacific temperament of the natives. But our work was to exasperate, ravage, kill, mangle, and destroy. And the Christians, with their horses and swords and pikes, began to carry out massacres and strange cruelties against them. They attacked the towns and spared neither the children nor the aged, nor pregnant women, nor women in childbed, not only stabbing them and dismembering them, but cutting them to pieces as if dealing with sheep in the slaughterhouse. They laid bets as to who, with one stroke of the sword, could split a man in two, or could cut off his head, or spill out his entrails with a single stroke of the pike. Now, even one of Columbus's own crew members actually wrote and bragged about his crimes. He wrote, "While I was in the boat, I captured a very beautiful Carib woman, whom the said Lord Admiral gave to me. When I had taken her to my cabin, she was naked, as was their custom. I was filled with a desire to take my pleasure with her and attempted to satisfy my desire. She was unwilling and so treated me with her nails that I wished I had never begun. But to cut a long story short, I then took a piece of rope and whipped her soundly, and she let forth such incredible screams that you would not have believed your ears. Eventually, we came to such terms, I assure you, that you would have thought that she had been brought up in a school for whores." So here are.
So I just wanted to jump in for a second.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first of all, back to Trump's statements, he didn't write those, of course. Mm. It had words beyond a third grader's capabilities.
He only used tremendous once.
Yes. I know, I saw that. I was like, that must have been ad-libbed, but it's a statement.
Yeah, a transformative event. That is not a phrase Donald Trump has ever said.
The only thing that stood out to me in his statement that, I mean, probably written by Stephen Miller, who like is getting whisperings from Bannon in his ear. But when he talks about the permanent arrival of Europeans to the Americas, that is like dog whistling, like, all right, I'm here for you, I'm calling for you. We have European, you know, roots and things like that. I mean, that's what he's calling for.
And there's a call out to the diverse makeup of this great of the nation, or he uses the word diverse. But if you look through the rest of that proclamation, things that weren't necessarily quoted in there, they go off on a tangent about Italian Americans because. Christopher, and the diversity that it seems that they're lauding is a diversity of mixed European influences, and not, of course, I mean, the statements about indigenous peoples have been in similar proclamations about Columbus Day in the past. The ones that everyone's come to expect, the part where it says Christopher Columbus made a journey across the ocean, and we would be remiss if we did not take into consideration the vast tragedy that unfolded to people who already lived there.
Right.
But this is very much in complete concert with the strategy of the Trump campaign to say, make America great again, go back to basic things racists say, which is, you know, what happened to Columbus Day? When we just had Columbus Day and we were happy that he came across the ocean blue in 1492. I remember that when I was in grade school in knee pants.
Yeah, so look, we're about to show you depth of the massacres that Columbus committed. And you know, even just having read those things, and the first set of quotes were from a missionary that was there, so a man of actual faith, and within historical context, and he couldn't believe the massacres and the butchering that was going on at that time, not later, okay? And that is the Lord Admiral is Columbus authorizing the rape of the women there and of the entire land that they saw. But so what Trump's team did here was they doubled down on Columbus's awesome, and he brought white Europeans here, which is great, okay? The indigenous thing is a little unfortunate, right? But when you see the scope of how unfortunate it was to then say, yeah, Columbus, he's our homeboy, and we're gonna celebrate that guy is unbelievable. And look, when I was a kid, I celebrated Columbus Day, I don't know, that was what I was taught. And and we're like, oh great, he discovered America. Even then I thought, this is a little weird, seems like he met people, so how could he have discovered the continent if there were already people there?
Right.
But as Hannah's about to tell you, there wasn't much left after him.
Yeah, when the Spanish came, they completely decimated the native populations. In fact, there were about 300,000 inhabitants of Hispaniola in 1492. Between 1494 and 1496, 100,000 had died, half due to mass suicide because they did not want to give in to the Spanish. And by 1508, the population was down to 60,000. And by 1548, it was estimated to be only 500. Not to mention all of the rapings. I mean, he sold 9- and 10-year-old girls into like sexual slavery. He would like cut off people's ears. They would tie some of the natives together. And instead of, if it felt like it was too cumbersome to untie them, they would just cut off their heads because they didn't want to untie them. I mean, this is like just absolutely
we get
disgusting.
Monday off.
And the atrocities of this. And to not even like really mention that in your statement and you know, even recognize that so many cities and states around the country now are saying that they're not celebrating Columbus Day, and in fact they're celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, is it seems like a pretty glaring, I don't know if it was an oversight or something on purpose. Now I do want to show you guys these cities and the states who celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. So I applaud them on doing that. I think Los Angeles is not on there, but should be included on there. They recently said that we were going to be celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day instead. Yeah. So
we just passed it a little while ago in Los Angeles.
Right.
So that's good news. That's just recognizing history. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying you wipe it off the history books. In fact, we should study it way more than we do. And if you're wondering about the mass suicides, I mean, look, you could already tell from all the things that Hannah said, but Columbus would demand of not only the adults but the children a certain amount of gold every day that they bring. But there wasn't that much gold in Hispaniola. But he went on the voyage for greed, and he was going to destroy everything in his path to get the gold. And so if they couldn't get the gold, he'd chop off one of their hands and tie it around their necks. And they'd have to try to get it with the rest of their hands. So, and then there was the nonstop rape, etc. Mm-hmm. And the killings were so indiscriminate. Anyway, all they had was, it seemed, a short, brutal life as long as Columbus was in charge until they would one day be killed. That's part of why they did mass suicides. Right. So it almost can't get worse. They went from 300,000 people down to 500. It's as big a massacre or genocide as, and certainly within the historical context of how many people were there per capita, as anyone has ever seen. To celebrate that guy is just
abhorrent. You're celebrating a monster. Celebrating a monster. And I think, you know, a lot of history books cut out, like especially when you're younger, they cut out the atrocities and the horrible acts that he committed. But it's so important to include those and to teach kids that, and to teach kids of sometimes of our ugly history. And I know that we don't like to admit to that, and we don't like to admit to the evil that we've committed as a country sometimes, or as a people sometimes. But it's so important to do so, so that we don't repeat history, and that we don't try to wipe out, you know, different cultures like some people would like to see right now.
Yeah, and if you loved Columbus Day as a kid, this information is not an affront towards you personally. And I feel like when facts come out about what happened really with Columbus, a lot of folks who support the traditional interpretation of Columbus Day say, you're fighting back against me personally. And the answer is no, this is just more information. Because it's very obvious that this simple definition of Columbus coming over here to the Americas and setting up the possibility for exploration of the New World, that's just way too simple, because it's very obvious that it was at the expense of the people who lived here before. Mm-hmm.
But you know what, I will end on a fun note on this otherwise horribly tragic story by saying that I have a solution for how to fix this. I think actually if Trump makes it to the next Indigenous Peoples Day that he would call Columbus Day year around.
Don't say such things.
There's no wood. There's no wood.
Here it is. I got you.
Okay. I think we can convince him to get rid of it at Columbus Day if we just explain to him that they came over on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and they were undocumented immigrants.
So good.
All right.
Okay, all right. What's
next? Speaking of more people who don't like immigrants. On Saturday night, the alt-right returned to Charlottesville to hold a flash mob rally in their own terms. So take a look at this picture.
They really do give a different meaning to flash mob.
Yeah, flash mob is over. Seriously. Can we say now officially the flash mob is over party can begin? Yeah.
It is. Now the rally was only about 50 people, during which Richard Spencer was speaking into a megaphone yelling, "You will not replace us." They sang a Confederate battle song. The rally only lasted about 10 minutes, but during this time, he had these lovely words to share with the participants.
"This town, Charlottesville, Robert E. Lee, the University of Virginia, the ideal of an academical village, all of that derives from our people and it derives from no one else. And all of you know it. So you either have to be fully consistent, go full Bolshevik on us, tear it all down, cover it all up. I don't think you have the balls to do it, to be honest, but that's what you should do if you actually were consistent. Or you can recognize that we have a place in this country. We have a place in this conversation. We have the right to exist. We have the right to advocate for our interests, for our people. We are the historic majority. We define this country, not anyone else. This country ultimately belongs to us in terms of what it means, in terms of its history, and in terms of its future. So get used to that. Or show that you have some balls, be consistent, and tear it all down. I want to watch you try. All right, gentlemen, let's get out of here."
All right, so not only did he use like the early 2000s term of flash mob, he also decided to completely ignore the fact of the black people who came to this country and really built this country, saying that he built it. All right, whatever. He also sent out a little video to his followers. Take a look.
"Hey everyone, Charlottesville 3.0 was a great success and it was a lot of fun. We came, we triggered, we left. We did an in and out flash mob. We did some singing, we did some chanting, some speeches. We got in and out. There were no injuries, no major confrontations. We demonstrated that we came in peace in May. We came in peace in July. We were badly mistreated and we came in peace tonight. It was a great success and we're going to do it again. This is definitely a model that should be repeated. All right, talk to you guys soon."
So he says they came in peace. Now the chant, "You will not replace us," is a confusing one, because when I first saw it after the Charlottesville story broke, I'm like, who's replacing you and why are they, I don't get it. Why are they replacing? What does that mean? What a weird thing to chant. It turns out that it's an anti-Semitic chant, and I was unfamiliar with it because I'm not a neo-Nazi. And then once you saw the videos, and Vice did a great documentary on this, you see that they start with "You will not replace us," then they move to "Jews will not replace us." Mm-hmm. Apparently, in their crazy Council of Zion conspiracy theories, the Jews somehow replace everyone? I don't know.
They also chanted, I mean, in the original Charlottesville rally, they also chanted "Blood and Soil," which was another sort of Nazi slogan as well.
Because everybody knows the Nazis are peace loving people. Yeah, that's well documented. And that's the other thing about these, you know, he talks about getting triggered and stuff.
Yeah.
These are the most special snowflakes on the planet. You had 44 and a half out of the 45 presidents if you're white, right? So he's like, "There's no place for us." What, the half is the one that really triggered you? Like, no, there's wall-to-wall place for you here. The whites are still a majority of the country. They're overwhelmingly in power, etc. Now, if you say, if by us you mean neo-Nazis and racists and, you know, extreme right-wingers, yeah, I hope there's no place for you. Right, then we can have a debate.
Earlier in the speech too, I mean, I watched the full thing that he put up on Periscope, unfortunately, because I saw all of the comments come through, which made me lose faith in humanity. But during that, during his speech, he also talks about white privilege. Like, he recognizes that white people have privilege, but then says like, "Oh, you're not gonna replace us, you're trying to take over our land, this is ours." It's like, wait, like, which is it? Yeah. Do you have white privilege or are we taking over? Like, pick one. You don't get to flip-flop.
Yeah, that first video, the video that you played, his speech, much like the video itself, lacked focus. Mm. And that's the thing with Richard Spencer. If you let him speak, you see that point where he loses focus on what he's trying to say and he just starts babbling. But you kind of parse it down into this weird he's imploring people to tear down the monuments. He's imploring them to go far and hit him. And that's, he wants so much attention. Mm-hmm. There's all these different articles about what he actually wants. Some of them he says he wants some kind of safe ethno state. He wants a safe European homeland, which I think that's Europe.
And he says, you know, all these guys get triggered, they're snowflakes, they love to say stuff like that. And then he literally says he wants a safe space for Europeans.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what he wants is attention. I think what he wants probably is his dad to love him or something, or to have sex with, you know, Jane or Hank or whoever it is that he wants to have sex with, and it isn't reciprocated. And he's gone and he's been frustrated his entire life, and it's turned into this crazy, crazy overreach and self-victimization that he's, you know, projecting onto everyone. And that's the case with a lot of folks in this category. Yeah. I think if he wants that safe space, because he wants the idea of like this Europe of peace to really, you know, be delivered on. But if you look at Europe, like World War I, World War II, that's Europeans all living in the same place fighting each other.
Yeah, that was a 100 Years' War. Almost every other war. I mean, Europe is not what I would call a safe space in history. And it wasn't like the Africans started those wars or the Jews. It was white Europeans who started an endless string of wars. But we're not holding it against them. That's crazy. We're all human beings. We're all the same. But he takes it as like, no, we're the special peace-loving guys.
It's the same thing. It's like, we just want you to understand the complexity of the world.
Yes.
And you're trying to oversimplify. And I have a device to make all well. If you want that simple place where European culture is allowed to live in all its glory in a very simplified manner, go work at Epcot. Go to Epcot, go to the Norwegian village, go to the German area where you can just live in this idealistic version of the European ethno state. Have a beer. Ride that weird log flume ride with the trolls. Have a fantastic time, but leave it there.
I'll
buy him a season pass.
He gets on the Small World ride, just gets off at like the one with all the like lederhosen.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I made it. Home.
It's so funny because his entire speech is all about like history, right? And he goes in, he's like, this is, you know, there's historical evidence. I'm here. This is our history, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, bro, like history is like, you're an immigrant. You came and you took this land from somebody else, all right? And you, all your people are immigrants too. So you don't get to say like, oh no, we're an okay immigrant, but other people, not so much.
But he does that with white people. He does, that whole group, they put different differentiators among groups of white people. They want you, they send out before their Charlottesville demonstration, they said, why don't you guys show up dressed this way with this haircut, looking this way, and we want to, you know, differentiate ourselves from the rednecks, is their, you know, term.
But that's a rebranding thing, because he doesn't like want to be perceived, despite like the Nazi salutes and things like that, he doesn't want to be perceived like the KKK. Like, there's articles out there that talk about how he's like, guys, this is not a good look for us. Let's just, you know, we'll get an alternative type like name, and now we're gonna dress a little bit differently and put our Dockers on, you know, and be this have the same messaging, but just do it in a different way.
He's not just a white supremacist. He's a white supremacist. Mm. He's like, I am the best kind of white supremacist, and every other white supremacist is below me.
This is like a racist Halloween where they play dress up with like different things. Okay, you guys take the redneck outfit, you get the hood. Okay, but remember, guys. Okay, we dress well because Nazis are way better than the KKK.
So weird.
And finally, the irony of him saying we built this and only us, when they literally, his ancestors that he's so proud of, were so lazy that they wouldn't do their own farming. They wouldn't build anything, including the White House. They enslaved other people to do their work for them. Now, that doesn't mean that people of this generation did that. White people around today, you didn't do that, okay? But that is the history and the facts of what happened in the South, including in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so to then turn around and perversely say blacks had no contribution and all the stereotypes that go along with that, when in reality they built the place, is counter-historical to say the least. And you know what, one last piece of irony. He like looks up to Europe and Northern Europe where the whites are, and it's so fantastic. Northern Europe is socialist. They're the most left-wing place on the planet. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you actually love Northern Europeans, I love Northern Europeans, they're wonderfully socialist, right? Do likewise, but of course that's not what it's about. Brett's right, it's personal issues, not just for him, but all of his neo-Nazi followers. They all have massive issues, and unfortunately, they'd be a laughingstock and an irrelevant part of the current events of today if they didn't have a president who thought there were some very fine people in that crowd.
Yeah. He just needs to light like a nice smelling candle and take a bath, not a tiki torch.
Yes. All right, we got to take a quick break. I mean, one of the things that we're going to come back and talk about is Dove's ad. Mm-hmm. I don't know what in the world they were thinking. I mean, it's so over the top racist. I can't quite believe it. So, all right, I will show you what the ad is and we'll figure it out together. Come right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Brett, and Hannah with you. Member shout-outs are James Jones, used to be a decent receiver for the Packers, and Karen Gadwell, but only decent, and Karen Gadwell. So you guys are awesome. Thank you for being members. You make the show possible. You make independent media possible, and you get the whole network ad free, of course, if you're a member. And today in the post game, we're going to talk about some insider stories from my trip to DC. Mm. Those are always fun and interesting, and I think informative. I leave out all names and references because all that stuff's off the record, so I can't tell you who said it and stuff like that. But I can give you a general sense of what Washington is thinking these days.
Great.
So that's going to be interesting. And hey, members, tomorrow I get a live interview at 11 a.m. Eastern with Naomi Klein. So everybody gets to see it 24 hours later, so we're not keeping it from anyone. But if you're a member, you get to watch it live as it happens. TYTnetwork.com/memberslive tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to watch the full interview with Naomi Klein. All right, Hannah. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just do tweets real quick, and then I'll kick over to you. Actually, our own Bart Kyle tweets in. Fun fact reminder, Columbus didn't set foot on North America. He instead got lost in trying to find a new route to India. He wound up setting foot and discovering the Bahamas. That is true. So I don't know why we're having Columbus Day. Maybe the good folks in Bahamas, they should consider it, but don't. And they would never probably would.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I am Sock writes in, Columbus was the original bad hombre. By the way, that reminds me, I did a story about Puerto Rico too. We now have on shoptyt.com nasty t-shirts because the mayor of San Juan wore a shirt that said nasty on it in an interview for Nasty Woman. So especially for women, but guys can wear it too. I have mine.
Yeah.
I'll probably wear it in one of the old school episodes.
Yeah, I feel like we've like owned like Nasty Woman and Bad Hombre right now. Like now it's like cool to be those things because you're like part of the resistance.
Yeah. Oh, now we got to do a bad hombre t-shirt.
Yeah, okay. A little bit.
If you're nasty, though, you have to call Janet Jackson Miss Jackson. I just want to bring that back up from the 80s for
that's fair.
If you buy it, you now have to call her Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
Okay, that is very fair. ShopTYT.com for those shirts. And then, and of course, to hear the post game and join us is TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. All right, Hannah, what's next?
An FBI report from August has recently been discovered identifying black identity extremists as a terrorist threat. Now, I read through this report and it reads that the FBI assesses it is very likely black identity extremist or BIE perceptions of police brutality against African Americans spurred an increase in premeditated retaliatory lethal violence against law enforcement and will very likely serve as justification for such violence. The FBI assess it is very likely this increase began following the August 9th, 2014 shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. And the FBI assesses it is very likely incidents of alleged police abuse against African Americans since then have continued to feed the resurgence in ideologically motivated violent criminal activity within the BIE movement. So I want to read you more from this report, but I do want you to pay attention to some of the terminology that they're using here. And I tried to really emphasize it when I was speaking, but they say perceptions of police brutality, alleged police abuse, Because apparently, according to the FBI, it's not that these people who are committing these acts of violence are mad about the racism. They're apparently being irrational in their reactions to the racism, according to the FBI.
And before you go on, Hannah, yeah. I just want to know for the record, there is no such thing as black identity extremists.
No.
Well, there is now because it's in a piece of paper. Yeah. Like they wrote it down. I mean, that's how it, that's the sad truth, is now they've created a category they can funnel people into.
Well, I mean, basically what they're doing is they're trying to relabel, you know, the BLM as something that it's not. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, it's pretty obvious, well, as you read throughout here, that it's all about like Black Lives Matter movement, but they just sort of like rephrased it so that they're not as explicit with how racist they're being. Now they cite violence against police officers as a reason for this identification. They go into the FBI judges very likely BIE perceptions of police brutality against African Americans have become organizing drivers for the BIE movement since 2014. I think that's another sort of, they're very clearly alluding to the BLM movement, resulting in a spike of BIEs intentionally targeting law enforcement with violence. And they say even though these five of these attacks occurred following controversial police shootings and of African Americans by white police officers, the BIE or targeting of officers was not in every incident based on specific race. Now they go into in great detail all of the violence against police officers, yet they don't do any sort of detail about violence against black people. And they just continue and go into this. And the FBI has a pretty thorough record of being pretty racist. I mean, when you look at the counterintelligence programs that they used to carry out and still continue to carry out, they've always sort of like, they targeted the Black Panthers, they targeted Martin Luther King, they targeted people during the civil rights movement. This is not a new game for them.
So, you know, I've praised the FBI recently because I think they've done some good work in thwarting some potential domestic terrorism in the country, whether it was by Islamic radicals or others. But we got to keep it real on a couple of fronts. So during the Bush administration, the FBI was going to look into right-wing extremism. Not to say that it's all right-wingers who do it, of course not. A lot of the folks who work at the FBI also are right-wing. Some, I'm sure, are left-wing, etc. Right? But it was to say there are actual groups like the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, and I'm not saying those guys, you know, I don't know the details of each one of those groups, but there are specific militias and groups who have agitated towards violence. So now that report was written in the Bush administration, it was released during the Obama administration, and the right wing flipped out. And so Rush Limbaugh, Fox News, they said, oh my God, they're targeting us. When the report didn't say that, they said these specific groups, we should make sure. And if you know the facts, you would know that that is a very reasonable thing to do, because actually right-wing extremists in this country commit terrorism at twice the rate of Islamic radicals. Mm-hmm. Now, it's disproportionate per capita anyway, so it's not like you should ignore Islamic radicals. That's a definite problem. What we would ask the FBI to do is to treat all this fairly and then look to see what the real threats are. Now, is there a group that belongs in the now made up category of black identity extremists? There isn't. There is no self-proclaimed group, black group, that's going around saying we should consider violence, we shouldn't listen to the rules or laws of the country, as some of the right-wing groups say. They say if a judge makes an order, it gives an order, some of the right-wing groups say it has no authority over me because of the Constitution and I don't pay taxes, etc. There is no real equivalent of that for black groups. This is just a way of saying, I don't know, separate mass shooters, and in those cases, like in Dallas, Louisiana, they did hit cops, but they were not part of organizations. In fact, the one in Dallas that killed the five officers was actively rejected from every black group he tried to join. So there's no movement. It's just, it's like saying, okay, how can I take the mass shooter in Vegas and somehow connect him to the mass shooter in Colorado and call it white identity extremists? That makes no sense,
right?
And so that's why this is, if they were trying to track a movement that was dangerous to cops, of course you should do that. But in this case, you invented a category that doesn't exist for a movement that doesn't exist. And of course, the real problem is, one, you're wasting resources, and don't do that because you've actually done some pretty good work otherwise. And number two is you're now saying winking and nodding to some FBI agents if they have that proclivity, just target black groups whether they had anything to do with the violence or not.
Yeah, when you're talking about violence with black groups, it's often perpetrated against them. I mean, you look at these peaceful protests where police officers are throwing, you know, tear gas and like things on them and being extremely violent towards them. You know what I mean? It's not often the other way around. And this does sort of, you're right, it's like sort of like a wink and a nod. Okay, we're, you know, we said that the alt-right and people who identify as like white supremacists and things like that are a significant domestic terrorist threat. But also we'll add this in to make sure that we're like covering our bases and not pissing off enough people. Whereas like people within like the BLM movement and things like that often talk about peaceful protesting. Whereas on the flip side of that, Richard Spencer says that he's not afraid of violence and, you know, a bloody revolution to achieve what he wants. It's like, okay, it boggles my mind that, you know, the Bureau cannot look at those two, like that compares them, right? It boggles my mind that they can compare them, and it boggles my mind that they don't see that and are not targeting that more effectively.
The only ideology, I mean, that I've seen is an ideology of equality, justice, and fairness. That's what people want. The danger just by having this term out there is you're going to funnel people who believe in equality, justice, and fairness just by where they are, what they're, the fact that they're at a protest and the FBI are looking at them, into this category that didn't exist until they wrote it down. I mean, the question is, it doesn't exist as a category because there's no one that fits it.
Right.
Just by virtue of they're trying to connect all these different cords that don't connect. But now people can be put into it. They're gonna start with the guy who shot the police officers. Well, and that is one person who committed a violent act, and they're just going to take anyone who's, it's going to get looser and more loosely affiliated with an act of violence into a potential for an act of violence, which, you know, they seem to be pretty angry holding signs. Well, of course they're angry holding signs because they want equality, justice, and fairness, and they're not getting it. But they're not violent, and this gives the FBI an ability to classify them as such, and that's not fair.
It gives the FBI the ability to classify them as such, but it also gives just your everyday person the ability to classify them as such as well. When you think about how people, you know, run with the Islamic extremists and things like that, and the way that they perpetuate that term and perpetuate bigotry, now they have a new term to use against black people, and it's fucked up.
Yeah. And look, we got all those protests in St. Louis, and our own reporter Jordan Charton and our cameraman Ty Bayless were arrested during those protests for just covering protests. Well, you know, stuff like this allows them to justify it and go, well, you know, anyone who's protesting who's of a black identity is a potential extremist. So that's why we have this category. If you did it to white people and you said, okay, because some neo-Nazi did some violence in Charlottesville, any Tea Party protest is potential extremist, that would be outrageous and it would be unjustified. So let's spend our resources on actually addressing potential extremists and terrorists that might do us damage. The FBI has done some good work about that in the past. Let's go back to that instead of going down this wrong road. Okay, look, we don't have much time left. Sorry, guys. We're gonna do the Dove story. I'm gonna keep it for the online audience because we're gonna run out of time otherwise. But I think we can squeeze in the cocaine story. So can we skip ahead to cocaine?
Yes. After the Miami Dolphins coach made three of his players stay inside the tunnel during the national anthem because they wanted to protest, a model has released a video of one of the assistant coaches allegedly snorting cocaine to get back at the coach for this decision. Take a look at this video.
Hey, babe, miss you, thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go? There's those big grains falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think? Crazy? No, babe. It's gonna be a while before we can do this again, because I know you're gonna keep that baby. But I think about you when I do it. I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was. So much fun. The last little bit before I go to my meeting. that fucked up yet? You think? I think not. I wish I was looking this.
You can imagine what he says next. He has since resigned. He says that he is going to be spending time with his family and medical professionals.
Okay, I don't know what my favorite part of that video was. The particles falling out of his nose. I know we can't do this for a while because I know you're going to keep that baby.
Oh my God.
Or I wish this was licking your...
Okay. The baby one for me.
Yes,
because it's me like too. Wow, you just it's like a whole extra deep level of her pregnancy. It's like some kind of soap opera stuff.
The only thing that I do want to say about this video is that a lot of people, a lot of articles since then have been talking about who she is and why she would want to publicly embarrass him like this and blah blah blah. Like, let's not focus on her. Let's focus on why these people are protesting, why they should have the ability to protest, and the fact that this guy is like snorting on company properties.
Yeah, so look, I would actually have sympathy with him. I think that drugs should be legalized. He seems to care for her and doesn't want to endanger her baby. There's a lot of upsides for him, right? And she did look at it as a little bit of a betrayal of trust on her part. But in a league that keeps somebody out of the league for kneeling during the anthem, in a league that gives draconian punishment for just smoking marijuana, if one of the coaches is doing cocaine, I guess he's got to go. And yes, he stepped down. He has a different kind of meeting to go to now. Okay, we're out of time here, guys. We are going to continue, including that Dove ad online, tytnetwork.com. So we'll be right back. All right, we're back. Hannah's got two more stories for you guys. But before we move on, you know, the last story about the Dolphins coach, I just want to know for the record that what Jerry Jones and Stephen Ross are doing is really despicable. So the Miami owner was actually for a little while a good guy and was okay with his players kneeling and understood that they are protesting police brutality and that's an important issue for them. I hope it's an important issue for all of us, mm-hmm, but you know. Mm-hmm. But then they turn around because of pressure from Trump and they said now it's about patriotism and they're going to punish any of their players who kneel.
Right, it's because Trump made it about patriotism.
Yeah.
And they're mad at the players now for kneeling. But the players didn't make it about patriotism, Trump did. So you should be mad at Trump for mischaracterizing the nature of the protest in the first place. A protest which has been very explicitly stated to be about inequality and police brutality. And by soldiers, like an ex-Green Beret NFL veteran, who has said that it was specifically kneeling to be respectful like soldiers do on the battlefield. So that is there. It is written very explicitly. And to back Trump for and to explicitly say Trump made it about something else. So I'm gonna turn tail and I gotta be with him now. It's such a weak position and it's despicable.
But that's Trump's shtick. You know what I mean? He tries to commandeer these terms that are from the other side or these movements that are from the other side and spin it to play in his favor or to try to manipulate people into doing. And especially with these owners who now sort of turned their opinion and turned their minds on this one. Like, it worked. It worked. His like rebranding worked.
The Jerry Jones thing, because he got he and the Dallas Cowboys together came up with this idea to kind of have it both ways, was they were going to kneel before the anthem and then stand for the anthem as it played, which I think ended up being a really smart approach because there were so many people that booed them still. And they booed the Dallas Cowboys for standing during the national anthem and kneeling before it. And Scott Van Pelt had a great thing on his show where he's like, if you're still mad, you were mad that they were kneeling during the anthem, so they stopped kneeling during the anthem, but still did their protest in a different situation outside of the protest of the anthem. You just want to be mad.
But I love how kneeling is sort of like this silent and very like peaceful form of protest. And people are so upset about that, them kneeling during the national anthem, but they're okay with booing during the national anthem or screaming obscenities during the national anthem. I mean,
walking out.
Yeah.
You know, in a story that Hannah covered on Friday, Richard Spencer and the neo-Nazis were doing the Heil Hitler salute during the Star Spangled Banner that Milo was singing. Yeah. That seems a little bit more disrespectful of our country than
Neely. Yeah, but again, Richard Spencer really struggles with the history thing. Yeah. He's like, no, we want to be like the Nazis, even though technically we fought them.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it.
Okay, super last thing on this. The Miami coach kept three players in the tunnel and didn't let them come out during the anthem. Kenny Stills, Julius Thomas, and Mike Thomas, who are among their best players, although with the Dolphins these days, that's standing with faint praise. But anyway, it's really gross to say to those players, you're not allowed to join the rest of the team because we're now punishing you for your political opinions because the president asked us to. It's both gross and unconstitutional. And if I was them, I mean, that is deeply fucking offensive. I'd want to get off that team as soon as possible.
Yeah.
All right, let's go do Duff.
Dove has apologized after posting a Facebook video that many are calling racist. Take a look.
Okay, I think
we got it. All right. Okay. So essentially, many people are saying that Dove is trying to whitewash the first woman in this video. Now, obviously, a lot of people on Twitter went crazy and they have issued an apology saying, an image we recently posted on Facebook missed the mark in representing women of color thoughtfully. We deeply regret the offense it caused. Now, Dove, as many of you know, has been pretty good at sort of expanding our perceptions of beauty with their Real Beauty campaign and the way that they talk about beauty blind spots that we have in the media. That said, they have made a few missteps in the past. Let's look at some other of their missteps. Here, this is from 2011, saying before and then after, and it going from an African-American woman to a white woman. And then here with a summer glow that they a summer glow lotion that they sell where it says normal to dark skin.
That's the one.
What is normal? Excuse me?
That's the one that's just come on guys.
I mean, how? Do better.
That's the one that gets me. It's
just, yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack in this. I think the biggest issue is like when you look at Dove and you look at some of the other ways that beauty brands talk about beauty, often whiteness is associated with like cleanliness and purification. And so I think that's people's issue with this particular video is that they're perpetuating that, you know, kind of screwed up ideology.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a history of this in the soap industry that goes back a long, long time. That's why I think they have to be a little bit more cognizant of it and careful with it. But I also want to say though that it's not as straightforward. Like a lot of the articles have just the black woman turning into a white woman and makes it seem like she's getting cleaner. And so people are enraged by that. And if that's all you see, I understand why you'd be enraged. But then the white woman turns into kind of a brown woman, so well then it's not about washing the black off of you as they have literally done in the soap industry in the past, those kinds of ads, right? So it just feels more like a mistake than it feels anything malicious at all.
So I think what they were trying to do is that like we work for all skin types, normal to dark, despite that issue. But I think that we work for all skin types and we were talking about it early in the production meeting. I wonder if there would have been the same reaction if it was they started with the white girl.
Yeah,
know what I mean? If they started with the white girl and had that be the starting one and not have the black model sort of whitewashed essentially. You know what I mean? Like I wonder if the same reaction would have existed.
I can't look at this and determine beyond a shadow of a doubt that Dove was being racist. Like I just don't see it because it goes from black to white to brown. And the idea, their thrust of their campaign is and has been like for all skin types. Now their wording of normal to dark is the one that people should say, what are you doing? You just made white normal and dark abnormal. And that's what you mean. Because if there is a normal and then there's a dark, then dark is abnormal. That's the one you should go after. That said, the legacy of hundreds of years of soap ads where it's like, you can take a black baby and use our soap and it'll be white as the morning dew or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of stuff that Dove needs to be aware of. But in this, what happened was a lot of people took two screen caps. There was a black person and then they became a white person and then they just shot that out all over the place because it's very difficult to find that video that you see here
now.
Yeah,
they took it down.
And then Ava DuVernay pointed out the wording of Dove's ad to say we missed the mark is another way. So here, yeah, you see the three, but the wording of Ava DuVernay's objection was to their apology, which said we missed the mark, and she's like that's too flip, and yeah. She acknowledges that Dove has, as you said, done a lot in the way of exploring, you know, expanding
yeah.
your definition of beauty, but in this situation, it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: is I agree with you that this ad alone might be hard to sort of like discern whether or not they had like racist intentions. Like, I don't think they had racist intentions. But I do think when you are in a room full of like ad execs and marketing execs and people who are looking at this over and over again, it's hard not to see something like this and be like, hey, like, you know, well, look, let's look at the, you know, the history of soap ads. Let's talk about like the way that we've always talked about like white is pure and things like that. In addition to the fact that like there's still a lot of products on the market now in different countries and in different cultures that talk about trying to like achieve that white ideal, like skin whitening lotion and things like that. So like these are things that you need to take into account when you're putting something out like this. I don't think it was, you know, purposeful. But you just need to like do a lot of research.
We talked about it on Pop Trigger today, and this gives everyone an opportunity to go find out more about. Mm. Like it's fascinating and heartbreaking, the legacy of soap. And Darren Dean on our show was talking about like the different skin lightening mm-hmm. creams and all of the pressure it puts on people to get lighter. And that is a tragedy, and that's something that shouldn't be around, and that's what we need to dig into. I just think that this is a study in people taking two screen caps and putting something there that isn't there explicitly.
Yeah, so if you just see the black girl turning into a white girl, it just seems over the top racist, and I think that's the only thing that anyone is seeing. Not anyone, but a lot of people are only seeing that. And so I've seen some people on Twitter saying like, I don't even want the explanation. I mean, this is so wrong, I don't want the explanation. But don't do that, because sometimes the explanation does give you more clarity. And yeah, I mean, if they had gone black to brown to white, that's worse.
Right, that would have been.
Right? and in one of the ads earlier that Hannah just showed you, they kind of did that with the before and after.
Yeah.
And here, more diversity might have, in the boardroom, might have helped a little bit. Mm. But I don't know. I don't know who was in the room. And they might have thought, well, we went black to white to brown, so it's okay. But at least know the full context of it. And so it's obviously a mistake because it blew up on them. At the same time, the adding the brown girl at the end makes a giant, giant difference.
Yeah, I don't think it's as overt as people are making it out to be.
And for me, there's a cynicism, like my cynicism kicks in. It's like, in a way I can interpret it that you're like using like you guys being the woke brand to sell more soap. And that's where I come down. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it does feel like we're throwing in the brown girl at the end. So we've already checked that box. Like that's a cynicism I can kind of go to. To say like, I don't know about Dove, are they just trying to sell more soap?
But you know, that I don't mind at all, because of course they're trying to sell more soap, they're a soap company. And so if they want to use diversity to sell the soap, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. They just screwed it up here. So they'll strain it out, and you know, I think that
It's a learning lesson.
I think that we can get past this. It's not like there's a million really, really important racial issues in the country.
Right.
This is not the thing to take a knee over. That's my opinion. Okay. Yeah. All right, last story.
All right. Right wingers are pissed at the American Nazi killing in the video game Wolfenstein 2. Now, they posted a video teasing the new video game on their Twitter. Take a look. All right, so they posted this video with the caption, "Make America Nazi Free Again, hashtag no more Nazis." And many people were very upset by this. Some commenting that they didn't know that Bethesda, which is the game studio behind this game, teamed with SJWs and Antifa. Other people said, "Don't inject leftist propaganda and take advantage of current events in our political landscape to try and sell your product and expect anyone with half a brain to not notice."
Well, they found people with half a brain and it seems like they noticed.
Further, the VP of Public Relations and Marketing of Bethesda said that Wolfenstein has been a game decidedly anti-Nazi series since the first release more than 20 years ago. "We aren't going to shy away from what the game is about. We don't feel it's a reach for us to say Nazis are bad and un-American. And we're not worried about being on the right side of history here. Further, in Wolfenstein's case, it's pure coincidence that Nazis are marching in the streets of America this year. And it's disturbing that the game can be considered a controversial political statement at all." And I think that's the biggest point of this, right? Like, the fact that people are upset that people are shooting Nazis, even if they're on the in the streets in America, is a real big issue that we need to address.
Do you know how long it takes to develop a video game? The last Grand Theft Auto came out like 7 years ago. Like, they're putting it off because they have one video game they've been working on for the last 5 years. Like, it takes so long to do this. It takes longer than it takes to develop and shoot a movie to develop and make a video game. So this, guys, is not something that they just decided to throw together because this was in the news. This game came out in 1981. The original, like, Apple IIG, Achtung, you run around and try to get away from the Nazis who are trying to capture you. Like, this is not new.
That said, like, even if it was new and they were shooting at Nazis in the streets, like,
yeah,
Nazis are still bad. Whether it happens, whether they made it a month ago or they made it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. Still, we don't want Nazis in our streets. And the fact that people are like fighting this and saying, oh, this is like the leftist agenda. It should be everybody's agenda not to have Nazis in the street. I can't handle it anymore. I mean, I don't understand.
Okay, now look, I'm gonna do the most tepid defense of all time of the other side. But I'm gonna note that, look, the one thing that they did have control over that is recent is the slogan. And then they did say, "Make America Nazi Free Again." So that is an obvious reference to
that's
Trump's
true.
Slogan.
Yeah, okay. No, that's why people were upset because they were like commandeering that phrase and using his "Make America." But like, wouldn't it be a great America to not have Nazis? Like, I feel like those are not
so that's exactly
we fought a war, you know, over
slogans.
Yeah. So then now let me join you guys. Okay. So
that is a good point.
First, if you thought "Make America Great Again" is like a great slogan and it's wonderful and it's not at all racist or anti-Semitic or anything like that, you'd think like, well, "Making America Great" would also make it Nazi free. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't take any offense at that. You'd be like, yeah, of course, that's part of making America great. But you're getting touchy on it for some reason. You got triggered for a reason, right? So I think just look into why you got triggered by that, and I think and why you need the safe space from a video game.
It's because if you look at Trump's rhetoric, both sides. And so he separated like the right as like that, and they put them all in the same group, the alt-right and people who are, you know, more conservative and right-wing and Nazis and everything. He put them in one group essentially. And then it was like, oh, and the left is on the other side. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he set that up.
And thank you, by the way. I mean, if that was actually true, and it isn't, but it would be the whole country versus a really small group of racists. And so if that's like your vision of the right wing, you're doing more damage to the right wing than any of us could possibly do. So, I mean, so that's super obvious. And to Brett's point, like, fighting Nazis in video games is as old as video games. Like, that can't in any way be controversial. And then finally, my favorite thing is, and a lot of people use these, unfortunately, not just the alt-right, but like a lot of folks get off on calling people social justice warriors, right? First of all, just break down the phrase. It's kind of hilarious. Like, okay, so I'm a warrior for justice.
Sounds bad.
Like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. You know what? And you know who were social justice warriors fighting Nazis? The Greatest Generation. Like, the generation we revere the most in America, Americans who literally were warriors fighting for justice against the Nazis.
Yeah. These guys are so, there's the other side, they want to be martyrs, they want to be victims. They want you to feel bad for them, and I just don't.
Sorry.
And this game looks so good. I watched the extended trailer for this game. Oh my God, it looks so good. Yeah. This girl has like a pet robot dog that shoots fire. I can't wait.
I mean, just think though, like kind of off what you were saying, Cenk, like 50 years ago when we were like a little bit more close to the World War II, like people would have been like, fuck yeah, shoot the Nazis, da da da. But like, in that short span of time, 50 years is not that long, people have like completely forgotten and it's been totally transformed and like, oh, how dare we shoot the Nazis? And
I am gonna go out on a limb of what I've learned from playing games like this recently. What they'll have is a bunch of characters who all make up different perspectives on the positives and negatives, and you as a, you know, typically you as a player can choose what side you want to align with. Mm. So there will, I mean, I saw in the thing, there's people who take different sides of the debate of why there should be Nazis in America, why there shouldn't be Nazis in America, and there's differences on the anti-Nazi side versus militant versus peaceful. Mm. And so I'm pretty sure from what I saw in the trailer, you will see a far more nuanced approach to this than the alt-right is making it out to be. And that's actually, I don't even know what to make of that.
So, all right, last thing. Look, I'm not a guy who thinks we should go punch Nazis in the face in America in the real world, whether it's Richard Spencer or not. I don't think violence is the right answer. But this is not the real world. It's a fucking video game, right? And that's, we do violence in video games. We do it in movies, we do it in rap songs. We've done it forever. We do it in country songs because they're not real. And if you can't get off on killing Nazis in a video game, then don't play video games. Okay, so we are done for the show. I do have that post game for you guys where I talk about the state of Washington, as although
not the state of
the District of Columbia.
That's right. And I was just there for a couple of days, 3-4 days, and my how much I love and hate our nation's capital. In the postgame, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and hear that. And don't forget Naomi Klein tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, members get to watch live. So we'll see you there. Bye-bye.